Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Episode 2 of the Midlife Rewire podcast, and I have with me today my guest is Monty Sands. He's been a buddy of mine for a long time. Monty, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So Monty's an interesting character. We've been friends a long time. Monty's a monster in the finance industry. You know, most recently moved into comedy, which was quite an amazing thing, I thought. So this is sort of like the catalyst to our conversation today. So Monty, buddy, you want to start there, maybe with comedy? And
yeah, you know what? A couple of people had said, "Hey, Monty, you're a funny guy. You should do some stand up." And I really didn't know where to start or what to do, so I Googled it. I was just sitting in the office one day. It was like near the end of the day, and I Googled it, and I saw this thing for Second City. And before I knew it, I was like doing the classes. And the end of the class, like after the I think it's like 6 weeks. After 6 weeks of doing that, you perform live in front of your friends at Second City on a stage and in a microphone. And the thing is like most of my content is like I used to party really, really hard. And like when I say party, like I was like it's also known as killing myself, like because right. I was going way too hard for way too long, and the addiction or that challenge ended up being the greatest gift for me because. It launched me onto a spiritual path, self-awareness, mindfulness, all the things you talk about as well, which is pretty cool because we ended up talking over brunch and we didn't really realize, well, I think we knew, but it was a lot deeper than some of the similarities. Yeah. So that's what, and because of the content was so, focused around drugs and alcohol, I thought, hey, you know what? This is a great way to raise awareness, but also diminish the stigma around mental health. Like even now, like when I say mental health, like I don't feel so 100% comfortable saying it, but I still do it. I push through it. So I'm hoping to be able to say, yeah, like I had a mental health issue and it's gone into remission and I'm mentally very healthy today. But to admit that I was mentally unhealthy is like saying I'm a fucking idiot.
Right.
Can we swear on the podcast?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, of course we can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So, I mean, I want to talk to you about the content of your comedy because I've been to one of your shows. So,
yeah.
And I thought that was pretty brave. But just, you know, the idea of doing comedy is something I've thought about and I'm sure a lot of people have. They're like watching some comedian go up there and just fucking smash it, right? And it's not always like that. But I mean, to take that first step, I mean, were you afraid to start or was it something that you just felt sort of naturally comfortable with?
I used to, whenever I go up to a microphone and I'm in front of a microphone for various reasons for business and for some other coaching that I do, often. And when I go up to a microphone, my heart rate goes up to 163. Like it's faster than when I do cardio.
Wow.
And my back is sweating.
Yeah.
And I just push through. So it's interesting. So I had a show. So I've done about 5 shows. And I think it was the 3rd show. I use a tapping technique. It's called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique.
Interesting.
And the idea behind that, you can Google it. I'm not going to do the science behind it. But there, you tap on certain meridian points in your body and it blows out negative energy. So I tapped around fear of public speaking. And so like, even though I'm afraid of public speaking, I completely love and accept myself. Then you tap the next one. Even though I'm afraid of public, even though they might not like me, I completely love and accept myself. I did a combination of that and visualizing myself being relaxed, for my, second last show, it was the 4th show. I went up there, like shoulders relaxed. What you saw the video.
Yeah.
Went up there and I just like delivered like, and I was like interacting with the audience. But the 2nd show you came to. And I was like so pissed off because like Brian's here and like, and because we didn't really, I don't see that often, like, you know, like, and when I do, it's great. So you were there and I had a few other friends there and like, I delivered that first joke that is supposed to be just like your opening.
Right.
and nobody connected with it. Like my friends were smiling and my friends were laughing.
Right.
But no one, like, I was like looking around, everyone was smiling, but no one was giving themselves permission to laugh and have fun.
Right.
And then the other thing that happened is the leader guy, the teacher guy, with the suspenders, that guy came to the back and he's like, "Oh man, this is a tough crowd."
That's like great. That, and that was like just before you went up.
Just before, a little bit before I went up. Oh, and he's like, "Oh, you guys are gonna," and like, because he did the whole like he's chubby and there's a skinny girl, and he goes, "Oh yeah, me and her are gonna be appearing on Sesame Street as the next week as a number 10." Right. Remember?
Right.
And like that got like a 20% decibel level, like 20. It's
pretty good stuff too.
And that's good stuff. Yeah. So
yeah, interesting. So I mean, with starting to do the comedy, because I mean a lot of people our age don't start doing new shit. They just do the same thing over and over and over again, tell the same fucking stories, or they talk about the glory days. So it is cool starting to do it. So I guess, did you think about it for quite a while before you started?
You say age, like my emotional age is a lot less than my real age. But
thank God for that.
Right? Yeah. But you know what? I watch stand-up comedy and I'm like, wow, like I really like making people laugh. I'm happy when people are happy. Yeah. It makes me feel really good. I'm learning actually now to, it's a term called codependency, which all these strange like terms, but it's being able to be okay when people aren't happy. But I still enjoy making people happy. Right. So I always felt like I should be doing something on a microphone, not for necessarily all the attention, but I just really like to motivate and make people happy, inspire, motivate, laugh, like connect with. And so I've been thinking about doing something for a long time. I just kind of fell up the stairs on this one. Like my first show was just like, I just winged it. And like, it was like, I went up after this guy who had a bunch of his friends there. And I had a bunch of my friends there. And he was talking about the size of his penis and like how it's like, it's really hard to like, you know, girls are complaining about how big it is. And then like, and then so when I grabbed the microphone, I was just like, yeah, I feel like I've got Alex's penis in my hand. And like, I just like went, like, I just like bounced off of him and it just flowed. Right. And I was, so it went really well. Yeah. I read in a book somewhere like from a spiritual perspective, like when you do something new and your first attempt at it goes really well, it's like a sign from the universe. That, but it could not be. It just could be just randomness. But
No, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I did I sang on a rock show with a full band, full setup, and it went well. I did have a friendly crowd as well, but it did feel like that first one sort of motivated me to keep going. That's something I thought about for a long time and didn't.
I was going to ask you about that.
But you know, I find it interesting your technique to sort of tame and you know contain the butterflies.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of cool. Because
the tapping.
Once you get going, once you get moving with it, right? And then it just seems that starts to fade away and you can really get into the flow of things. But I think comedy might be a little different. Well, not necessarily. Like we'll play some songs and it seems flat. And other songs
get
moving. So like you just got to be resilient. And
I feel like it's the same. Right? I feel like it's different, but it's the same. Yeah. Like I feel like there's flows to it and you can feel the audience. Like I know you're a high EQ person. I feel like I am as well. I've been told that. So like I can actually, and sometimes like I'll see someone's face in the crowd. They might just be thinking about something else, but you got to learn to like, it's not about your performance. It's not about you singing or playing an instrument.
Yeah, absolutely.
But have you talked about what drove you into the music thing on other podcasts? Because like, this isn't all about me.
No, not really. I mean, that was just something that kind of, I was the top campfire singer, I guess. So we decided, my buddy Frank D'Angelo and I decided to give it a shot.
Great guy. I like Frank.
So it's great. Cause that's something that's been a lot of fun over the last 3 years. And we're actually planning some bigger stuff for next year. And,
nice.
You know, the Go-Go Dancers are a go every time. We got
I noticed singers. That. That
we're
was
adding,
cool. Yeah.
We're adding more band members. We're doing a website right now and packaging it up so we can actually do more stuff. It's just so much fun. The process too.
So
the process of having that hard date of saying, okay, we're performing on this date.
That's right.
Because I won't practice that hard on my own
without that date.
Deadline, right? Yeah. I'm sure it's the same with you for your comedy. You start to really turn up the practice before, and then you start to actually like that's when you break through that comfortable area and you start to grow.
And then you own it. Like you own the material or you own your performance before it actually happens. Right. Like, I've got another show coming up November.
It's interesting, feeling it before it happens.
Yeah, so Conor McGregor was saying on a podcast that he visualizes, like, I'm going to knock him out in the third round, and he does it. He actually says that, a lot of people say this, that that they visualize their life before it happens.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm doing it or whether it's being given to me or whether it's a combination of both.
Right.
But yeah, there's like a, but just a plug for that. There's going to be a show November 16th. Yes. I hope you can make it.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Around 8 o'clock. Yeah. Location to be determined. I got to figure that out. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So okay. So your material, like you said, it's a lot of it is some of the funny stuff is actually about some of the challenges you've had in your younger days, and you know, about some substance abuse and stuff.
Yeah.
I can relate with you on that. I've talked about that on here before as well. I mean,
is 40 years old that young? Like, is 40?
I've rode the lightning for many years myself.
Oh, nice. You know, nice. So,
but I mean, do you find that talking about it like that, putting it out there to people, do you find that sort of therapeutic as well, or does it help you, or is it just at this point you've already sort of dealt with it and it's just pure comedy at that point?
You know what, I'm part of an anonymous group that promotes and encourages sobriety, especially for people, only for people actually that are suffering. That's like the primary purpose, is to help the suffering person, alcoholic or addict. And the other main concept is that we get more out of helping another than they get. And I think that like a yoga teacher or ballerina or like if you were to give someone fitness advice. So for example, you told me, I was like, so guys, like, this guy's jacked, Brian's jacked. And I was just like, how did you do that? And you told me that you're mindful, you practice meditation. So I ramped up I already meditate. I've been meditating more.
Good.
And I'm already I woke up at 2:30. Like, I did cardio at 2:30 a.m. Monty would never do that. Like, Monty would eat donuts at that time. Right. So,
you wouldn't have an appetite at 2:30 back in the day, right?
Oh, back then. Oh yeah. I'd be awake from the day before. So I'd be doing resting cardio. My heart would be like flying off of whatever I had just, inhaled.
Yeah,
we can talk about that all you want. Like, I get a lot out of helping people. Yeah, it was my greatest weakness that turned into my greatest strength, because it's caused me to monitor my thoughts. It's caused me to live resentment-free. Right. Resentments are things that are resent. It just keeps getting reset to you in the cycle until you break free of the pattern. And one of the things that I learned through the process of being sober was seeing my part in things. Like, and usually what it is like, it's such a simple concept. Like, if I'm mad at somebody for not saying hi to me, like, let's just say like I'm out and usually that person says hi to me and they didn't say hi to me, especially if it's a girl, right? Yeah. Like maybe a pretty girl that maybe, like, you know, we've like flirted in the past, like just trying to paint the picture here. Right. It doesn't have to be a girl. And if I'm mad at them for not saying hi, that's a fear of rejection or a fear of looking bad or a fear of X.
Right.
Without that fear, I can't have the resentment. Otherwise, I'd be wondering, hey, I wonder if she's okay.
Right.
Which is like where I'm at today, not all the time, but as much of the time.
Yeah.
Like, without the fear, there is no resentment.
Right.
And then what happens is the fear can't stay. The ego doesn't want you to stay in fear. So it brings in these character defects to the rescue. Things like arrogance. Oh, well, I'm like this. I'm way better. Like, people have these weird thoughts. I'm way better than her. Or anger.
Right.
Or self-pity. Like, oh, like I'm fat and out of shape right now. And like my pants don't fit. And she probably thinks I'm fat. And maybe like her best friend told her she doesn't want to be friends with her anymore. Who knows, right? Or got dumped. Or she dumped someone else. I don't know. Right.
That's really interesting because... too many people believe their thoughts to be facts, and the interesting, wonderful thing about meditation is the more time you sit, is the more time you're able to separate who you truly are from those thoughts and manage them, and also create that space and awareness. So when somebody does react or says something to you, some kind of, you're an asshole, Monty, you realize that it's that guy, it's not you. He's just fucking angry. He's something. He's hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can only control our response to that. That's all.
Yeah. Like, I think my goal is just to, like, not at the expense of myself, but to just understand that if somebody's angry, they're suffering. And it's so self-centered of me to think that another person's anger has anything to do with me. It's so I'm not like beating myself up, but I'm realizing Monty stuff. Like, so like I meditate and I pray and I say, please remove my self-centeredness. Right. I do that just about like every morning, because if anybody else's actions, don't have anything to do with me. Right. They really don't.
Right.
Right. Like, and my actions don't have anything to do with other people.
Right.
You know, so it's freeing, man. It's freeing. I'm thankful. You'll be asking about the Boger experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story. Remind me to tell you a story.
Let's talk about that now. I mean, just quickly, one thing I wanted to ask you was, so I just find it fascinating because a lot of people talk about meditation. I've tried it. I've done this or that, but you've built this into a daily habit now, it seems.
Every day,
gratitude or some prayer or,
yeah.
So just, I always find it fascinating what people's routines are.
Sure.
Because I think it helps people understand how they can incorporate it into their lives. Because there's so many people who I know are high achievers in business, high achievers in fitness, great friends, great family people, and they just don't meditate. And you can tell that they still have that struggle where they, you know, the ego is such a motherfucker to deal with. So, but what is your daily routine?
Yeah, almost like a pressure valve. Like, it's almost like they need to release some pressure. And some people release pressure through alcohol and
drugs.
Absolutely.
You know,
and anger.
And or hard work, it will work too, but it's, you know, meditation is a completely different
tool. Yeah. I'm so glad you told me. Like, if anybody else is doing what I want to do or having what I want to have, I could have it or do it too. I think Anthony Robbins has that mantra.
Yeah.
And so if you can get ripped up and win awards on stage, then I can do it too.
Yeah.
I'm a little further, but I can do it. So my routine. So to answer your question about the routine, I wake up in the morning and I say God or universe or energy. For me, like, I don't believe there's like a being in the clouds with a beard. There's just something more powerful than I am that I don't fully understand. I don't think my brain is capable of understanding it.
Nobody's brain. It's defined by many things, I think, but, you know, call it source, call it infinite intelligence, call it
infinite
God,
intelligence.
Whatever
you want. I acknowledge my spirit, soul, whatever you want to call it. I say soul. So I acknowledge my soul in the morning. And it makes me happy. Like, I feel like there's like a best friend with me at all times. It sounds crazy, but I just started doing this again after the Boger retreat. I haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing this best friend thing. But so I say direct my thinking, and I say and then I think about the experiences and feelings I want to have. I ask for joy, honor, loyalty, respect. These are all things that I love. Like, I just like from my friends, from like a significant other. I just joy, playfulness, bliss, fun, laughter.
Right.
It doesn't have to be all like serious, like a sword, like honor, loyalty, respect, death before dishonor. But no, like it's like playful, fun are like two of my favorite words.
Right.
And then I try and think about like merging my will with the will of the universe. Meaning that like there's like, you know, when you're on stage and you're really flowing and you're really connected with the crowd, I think that's merging my will with actual will. I don't think self-will is almost like a contradiction. It's a contradiction, not a paradox. So I just try and connect with myself and then the biggest thing that I've learned, because I've read a bunch of books and I've done a bunch of different courses and stuff, gratitude. If there's just anything, if there's anything that that we got to say in the morning, that I say in the morning, is like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to my parents for giving me life. So that now like years of resentments are gone. Years of, they didn't do this. They didn't. They gave me life. There was no user's manual.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if nothing else, gratitude is just an incredible daily habit.
Yeah.
To feel it. I mean, you know, you've probably heard so many times that when you're feeling gratitude, it's impossible to feel any other negative emotion, fear, whatever else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it can exist.
But really embody the gratitude as well. So,
that's right.
I mean, 7 or 8 years ago, I heard Oprah talking about her gratitude journal. I've kept one ever since. You know, I write down five things every morning.
You do. What's your routine?
I've kept them all.
What is your routine?
Currently, I get up early. I mean, it's funny because the book 5 a.m. Club, Robin Sharma.
Okay.
It's basically, I read it after I had already sort of established this routine. It was kind of established basically last year when I was competing. I couldn't sleep because I was too hungry. So I get up at 5. I do 20 minutes of cardio, sweaty cardio.
Oh, because you're hungry? You couldn't sleep?
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. So, yeah, you wake up starving.
Just, that's funny. Yeah.
You know, actually through that process, I meditated more too to actually sort of embrace the hunger and let it go. And I was able to actually control it
with my
mind at times. So that was kind of cool. But
Really cool. That's beyond cool.
Yeah.
That's what's separating millions of men over 40, under 40 from achieving the results. Because you can go to the gym and build as much muscle as you want, but to get that belly fat off requires dieting.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
So cardio, and then right after that, I basically take my sweaty clothes off, put something else on, and I just go sit and meditate, you know, in the dark, because it's usually dark at that time in the morning.
Okay.
And I mean, some days it's great. I mean, but now my body craves it, right? And I really enjoy it. Now, again, like some days I might be in the middle of the week, a lot of shit going on. Problem solving mind's just going right away.
But in the morning?
In the morning, yeah. Yeah. At times, you know, you can wake up and you just wake up thinking.
Or getting answers. Yes. As well, I get answers to things in the morning. Like I ask a question at night.
Yeah.
I let it go.
Well, yeah. The answers often come in that space when you're really in that moment and you're not thinking. You're like, poof, just comes to you.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
So I use the time right after my meditation for some journaling. So at that point, I actually like sort of compile my thoughts. I do my gratitude at that point as well.
Okay.
And yeah, and then from there, you know, because I have young kids, everybody's still sleeping. I've still got about half an hour left. To make my breakfast, prep my food for the day. During the week, I try to keep pretty tight. And then I feel like I own the day at that point. I feel like I'm on top of it.
Okay.
I'm comfortable. I'm relaxed going into the day. And, you know, it just means getting to bed a little earlier at night, which is not a problem for me anymore either.
So. I'm so glad we're doing this because, like, I've asked you this before. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to take notes. This is being recorded.
Yeah.
That's really why I'm here. I want to know what, you've invited me, but I'm here to pick your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about the retreat, dude, because I find that super fascinating. I mean, as you know, I've done ayahuasca a few times.
You've done everything, haven't you?
Recreationally. Pretty much everything except inject my veins.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. No judgment though. If anyone
absolutely not. No, and I've met people that have in these ceremonies who've really come a long way because of this plant medicine.
Yeah.
So it's a super fascinating thing, and you know, just to you know, maybe give a little background on that. I mean, for anybody who's on a spiritual journey, psychedelics and plant medicines are really quite an interesting tool, and I find it's like. It almost kind of drives a wedge into your journey where you're on a path and you're working, but it's a step-by-step process. It's like, you know, there's nothing amazing going to happen overnight, but it happens in little steps and then you get a breakthrough, little steps, breakthrough. Doing something like a retreat just gives you a completely different perspective and it takes your mind into a completely different place.
Yep.
I find you get a little look under the curtain at something different and it broadens your perspective and changes everything.
Well said.
And then you realize... Again, that there's so much more that we don't know than we know.
That's right.
But tell me about your experience. I'm fascinated by that. I haven't tried that. So
yeah, you know what? I was getting a massage with this really really great RMT. Her name's Onyx. You could just Google Onyx. I'm sure there's like only one in this world.
Right.
But anyway, and I was just telling her, hey, like, you know, I'm going to be 4 years sober soon. And we just, you know, you're lying down on a table. It's kind of, you're vulnerable and you end up talking about a lot of stuff. And we got into the topic of ayahuasca, and she said there's ayahuasca, which is the grandmother, and then there's iboga, which is the grandfather.
So it's more of a masculine.
Yeah, it is a more masculine energy. Okay. And ayahuasca is more harsh, but it's
feminine, but she's a tough.
She's tough. And the grandfather's more gentle.
Right.
For addictions, alcoholism, anxiety, depression. I was told to go with iboga, iboga retreat. So, iboga is it's from a root branch of a tree, and they bake it in the sun. It turns into a powder. So here's what happened. Especially like if anybody is in a program or working on being sober, there are some people that if they're sober for 4 years or a year or two or whatever, if they go on these retreats, some of them actually get triggered. Some of them, and they actually go on a bender.
Huh.
And it could last for a month or a year or a day. And so I was, I really wanted to do it, but I was so afraid of losing 4 years of sobriety. So I went on a bachelor party, and I ended up having lots of fun, and I ended up drinking, and I ended up coming back from that experience. And maybe I might have done a little bit more than drink, but I ended up coming back from that experience. And I immediately signed up for the retreat because there was nothing to lose, right? Like, I'm not going to... See, that's the fear we were talking about. It's just like... It's just like the biggest thing I got from that is trust yourself was one of the things and believe in yourself. Those are the two biggest takeaways from that retreat. And there's nothing to forgive your parents for. They gave you life. You know? So it's like... What do I have to forgive them for? They didn't get a user's manual. I know I just said that before, it's a big one. So a lot of stuff happened. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into.
So I guess, like, overall, what would you take away from it then?
The addiction, it's a gift. Like, I've said that before, but I really mean it, like, from like the deepest part of me. It's the greatest gift because it's keeping me in check. It's keeping me focused on being the best version of myself that I could possibly be. I constantly, like, I'm just driving and, like, I'll have, like, a negative thought. I'll be like, trust yourself or believe in yourself. Like, it just keeps repeating. I believe that some of my neural pathways were probably rewired as a result of this, because that's what they say happens. It's like a ski hill, and then it's like a fresh coat of snow over all the carvings, right?
So, right. Yeah. Well, absolutely. So I mean, the neurons are fired together, wired together. So the more you work on those behaviors, the more they wire.
Yeah.
And, thank God for neuroplasticity, because we could completely rewire our entire personality.
That's it right there. See, what a positive attitude. Like, thank God for neuroplasticity. Regular people, like, there's people out there that don't even know what you mean by that, right? Like, thank God for neuroplasticity. Like, we both, and I'm sure there's others listening, we both just believe we could rewire ourselves. A lot of people don't believe that. And the thing is, post retreat, they said, hey, you got to stay on this, otherwise you'll rewire to the old patterns.
Absolutely.
I'm on top of this.
Being aware is the biggest thing.
Just
being aware of everything, being aware of your body, being aware of your thoughts,
awareness, self awareness.
And then, of course, putting in habits and having discipline
to support that
day, every day. And you know, we talked about this earlier when you first came. You know, it's just about that habit of, you know, getting up and doing our routines, and how important it is, and how going out to a really great party or a really great event, you know, I mentioned diminishing returns myself, but I'm not a single guy. So
you
know, if I'm looking around at 11:30, my wife's there, and I'm like, I had a good conversation with everybody. What else is left for me here now? Like,
there isn't a lot.
There's not much left. I could just drink more and have less sleep. And as it is, I still get up in the morning, so I know I'm only going to have 4 or 5 hours. Do I need two or three? I'm going to be a disaster. So
even for a single guy, I don't even want to, like, I want to be around like-minded people. And I'm probably, just given my lifestyle, I'm probably more suited for somebody who leaves at 11 or 10. I think everything after, I used to say everything after midnight. This is back when I was more of a douchebag than I am now. But I used to say everything after like 1 a.m. is bullshit. Right. You've heard that before.
Yeah.
Or everything after midnight is bullshit. No, everything after like 10:30.
Right.
Like 11, like, definitely there's a shift that happens at 11:30, 11:45. Right. Like, there's just, it's just, you just know you got to go. Yeah. I know I have to leave. Yeah. You can just, it's like all the souls have left the room.
And that's where, things start to get dark, and it's appealing, man.
You know, it is appealing.
Like, you know, the hotter chicks start coming in. A little bit dirtier, and you're like, okay, this could go back.
You get invited to the
next place you never even heard of, and there's no name on the door, and you know.
I'm usually in the washroom. I wish they just had a bar in the washroom, because I spend so much time in the washroom at these establishments that I even said they should have a DJ in the washroom, because I'm there and make it bigger, make couches.
But you know, you also said something too, brother, and it was like, you know, my goal with this really is, like, obviously to share any wisdom I've learned, but I really want to create a community around this. And it's interesting, since I've really started to kind of formalize it and do this, I've had like 2 or 3 buddies, and now yourself as well, who kind of all are in the same thing. And it's just so great exchanging these stories and stuff. Because I feel more motivated by it. And I think collectively, you know, so that the goal is for me to find a way to, for us to do this, you know, and come together and just like maybe share some stories and like, and support the cause or maybe learn something else about the, you know, art, this discovery. Because it's a fucking, it's a path, like there's no destination.
Yeah.
And that's the other crazy thing about the way culture is. People think, well, if I work really hard, if I do this, I'm going to get that thing and then I'm going to be fucking great. You know, I'm going to be happy, you know. Even like, you know, you can train and do a competition and you win that fucking medal or that trophy and you're standing there and for that moment...
Then I'll be happy.
And then the second you walk backstage, fucking now what? You know what? It's like, whew. Well, you better make sure that there's more of a why than just that. And it's just, it can't be just like some type of material or something you can grasp in your hand. It's got to come from something deeper.
And
that's the whole thing. I mean, and to life is so fucking short that if we don't actually take the time to really look at what the greater possibilities are, you know, I find them one of the most amazing things. I was interested. A guy last night, I was out. Mentioned to me, he was a really wealthy dude, and he goes, you know what, fuck, I'm just like, don't you kind of get sick of all this shit what, like, it's like nothing's really fucking working anymore. You buy your new Porsche, don't go on that trip, it's just good, but it's just like a blip in the radar. And I just said to him, I'm like, look man, like, the interesting thing is when you're in a fucking meditation and you're in a place where you're really connecting to that infinite intelligence and you can feel fucking love and you can actually thrill that love and you can make your heart fucking feel like it's swelling up inside.
Nice.
I called it a hard on in one of my blogs, but
a hard on, nice.
Hard on, yeah. That was actually I stole it from Dr. Joe Dispenza, but
yeah.
We're to the point where you're just so full and you can feel tears in your eyes of joy. At that point you don't want anything. There's nothing else that you could possibly have. There's nothing else except what is right there.
Yeah.
And when you do that enough times, then you start to realize that is it, man. It's just like that simple. There's nothing outside of ourselves, you know?
Yeah, that's really, really cool. No, that's really... I believe, like, part of the drinking and the partying and all this, I spent a lot of money. I spent The first time around, I've been sober a few times. Yeah. Like, I've done that before. I spent so much money, I was about, like... I don't think I even told you this before, but I was about 4 times business revenue in the hole. In the hole. So, like, how am I going to get out of this? I'm not going to do the... It was scary. Yeah. Like, so.
You know your numbers well.
I do know my numbers. I didn't know them then, but I know them now. Yeah. Like, I know them now enough to make that statement.
Yeah.
It was really, really scary. And I'm out of that now and things are going really well, actually. Like, not to boast, but I'm just really, really, I'm just so happy to be alive. Yeah. I love this conversation. Yeah. That brunch we had was fantastic, which led to this. It's almost like, oh yeah, are you feeling it too? Like, okay, I want other people to feel this. Whatever this is, I want them to feel it. Like, I'm just grateful to be alive, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you could give yourself advice, say, 20-year-old Monty, what would you say now?
Well, like,
is there anything you could say now?
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question. You know what I would have, I heard this before, act your way into better thinking. So for example, like, so you do the cardio and you do you wake up and you sit in that chair before you know it, your body takes you there and your thoughts take you there automatically. So I would have just worked on being more disciplined. Like, I would have like plugged into more activities and just kept myself really, really busy. Cause I'm really happy when I'm busy, but not to the point of like workaholic.
Right.
Holicism, more along the lines of like, you know, I didn't even know I was depressed as a, at times throughout my life, more than once. Alcoholism and depression kind of go hand in hand.
Right.
And action, like, I'm not a doctor and I'm not saying this works for everyone, but I've been in some pretty dark places and action, more action pulled me out of the dark hole.
Right.
So I guess I would socialize more. I wouldn't isolate as much. I love isolating. Yeah. I like,
absolutely. Yeah. I think it's good for the soul. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but too much of it, I think, like,
I think it's a balance for
everybody. Isolating's right, great. Now. So yeah, you're talking about recharging.
Right.
Yeah, like in that sort of like sober community, isolation, so I'll define it as is more of a, it's like isolation kills our ability to connect with others. To you're stuck with all your own thoughts. Yeah. Like, but there's recharging. Right. There's isolating. It's just a word until you label it with something, right? So yeah.
You said something interesting though, about that advice, taking action. That's great advice for anybody, because we have so many thoughts and great ideas, but so many things we don't take action on. Unless we take any kind of action, nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you get on some kind of path, you don't know necessarily you have an intention, but you take some action and you never know where it's going to lead. And you'd be surprised how wonderful that journey can be once you get moving on it. But we talk and often don't take action.
And we live in we have this thing called Google, and it's like anything you want to do or experience, you just type it into Google. So like, if you want to surf, if you want to surf and meditate and do yoga, there you could type those three words in. I'm sure. I think there's a place in Costa Rica. Yeah. I would like. I know. You could do that. And so, if you want to get your boat license, do it. If you want to get your gun license and shoot guns at a shooting range, do it. These are all things that I'm going to get my gun license. I told you about.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. Target practice, not people, right. But yeah. At targets. And then what's I got to get my motorcycle license, because like all you guys have a motorcycle,
right?
And so I gotta get one. Like Kevin was bugging me to get one a while ago, encouraging me, not bugging me. And I just it's good that I didn't, because I would have drank and drove that thing, because you got to get it home, right? You don't want it to get stolen, and you're not thinking straight, So I'm glad I didn't have it back then, but I'm gonna
Yeah, but no, that's interesting. But I find, this is actually, we talk about midlife rewire, but this is a good time of our life to start to look at all those things when you're a kid that you had on your list, all those things that you wanted to do, list them and then start to knock them off,
man. Yeah.
Fucking life is short. And it's hard to do those things, I find, for myself, when I was in the corporate world, making good money.
Yeah.
All I did was grind out during the week, beat up, and then go into a weekend of partying and chasing women, and that's a fucking great time, but there's no chance I'm going to be working on my violin practice or making sure I'm reading enough books or doing other things. It's impossible.
That's true. Yeah, well,
it's a good time of life now, I think, to really and make sure you start to create this discipline now, because otherwise you just follow the same pattern.
I think you are in an excellent position to be. I've always wanted to talk to you about all this stuff, because we're in a beautiful home, lots of square footage, you're in fantastic shape, you dress well, people love you, you love people. I think you have a lot to offer. Thank you so much for having me, this isn't the end of it, but I'm saying, especially when then you took all that and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go on stage at whatever, I don't know how old you were when you jumped on stage, was it last year?
45,
Oh, we're the same age. And I was just like, okay, you know what? Like, you see your buddy doing that, and it's like, okay, it's time for me to get six pack or whatever it is your goals are. Not everybody wants a six pack, right?
Yep.
But I actually want to see my six pack. I haven't seen it since I was 22, and it wasn't even six; it was more like four. But I'm gonna have a six pack. I'm declaring it. I'm gonna be seeing my trainer, my coach. He's one of my closest friends. His name's Mike, and we're gonna be. Mike Cassidy, we're gonna be training really, really hard, and we do that four times a week together. Yeah. So there's no stopping me. Yeah. So plugging, so taking action, it's just take the action, sign up for the course, pick that date, November 16th. Right. I have to be ready, otherwise I'm gonna be with a microphone sweating in front of all my friends. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing, man. Creating those deadlines and creating that accountability. So I guess that just leads to, I had one more question for
sure,
you.
Sure, sure.
You could give others advice in terms of how to sort of change their paradigm, change their life, and sort of head in a new direction, gain a greater awareness, try something new like comedy. What advice would that be?
Change their paradigm. I think it's important to be, I'm surrounded by the most amazing people. So surround yourself with people that are getting the results that you want or experiencing the life that you would like to experience. So your peer group is critical. I remember, as an aside, business is important to me. I used to define myself on how much I would make, my volume, my business volume. Even people use words like volume, right? It's so I remember hanging out with a bunch of people that like to drink and party, and none of them were making money. And I realized, I'm like, oh my God, I haven't made money in 3 months. 3 months. Right. Like, that's crazy for
right.
me.
Right.
And so that's the opposite of what to do, right? Hanging out with people. yeah, so one, your peer group. Two, think of the feelings. Like, really think of the feelings that you want to experience. Right. Like, love, happiness, joy. It sounds funny, but you're saying it to yourself. You're not like saying it on CNN. Like, right. Oh, I'd love to feel joy and right. bliss. But think of what you don't want, and it'll help you define what you do want.
Right.
Right. That would be one of the things. And then what was your final question? Oh, and then like, if there's something inside of you that tells you want to do stand up comedy, or you want to be a better public speaker, or maybe you want to switch careers, or you want to dabble or experiment with another career. That flame is more than a flame. It's a powerful force that's like asking you or telling you to do it. And I think that if I'm 80 or 90 and I'm looking back, and I think like I would be really upset with myself if I ignored that flame. This comedy thing might turn into the biggest thing ever. Or it might make one person say, holy shit, and this happened.
Right.
He's like, you used to be addicted to cocaine and used to have a drinking problem. He's just like, I thought people like that were like on the street drinking out of a paper bag. And you're like this guy, like well-spoken, all these right. really nice things you're saying. I converted him into love and tolerance versus judgment. And, yeah. and what's another, like when you judge to the point of like disgust or right. yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, that's fucking powerful shit, dude.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Amazing. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, brother. And fucking super proud of you for real, man. I love what
thank
you're
thank
doing.
You. Thank
and,
you, brother. Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm proud of you too.
Your comedy show yeah, yeah. November 16th, right?
Yeah. November 16th. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. Location to be disclosed. I'll post it on The Real Monty S on Instagram and Monty Sands on Facebook. Come.
Perfect, buddy.
Come. I'll make all you right. laugh. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, yeah, all yeah, right. bro. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was great, dude.